You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. I'm sorry, I'm still laughing, Brad. I have to report your tale. We're like, we're getting ready, and he goes, "Oh, on the rocks, like a drink."
Yeah.
The most innocent way to realize what the double entendre is for this movie.
It was adorable.
Not much of a drinker myself.
You know? I just wanted to hug you, Brad. I really did. Can I get a plush Brad, please? Someone make one of those on Etsy or something?
Oh, it's like you press it and it says things like, "On the rocks." Or his impressions of Nick Cage.
Innocently confused plush doll.
Yeah, exactly. We are talking about the movie On the Rocks. This is the latest film by Sofia Coppola. I was just talking about this in another review, sort of on a sideline, because I was saying, you know how some directors, like Brandon Cronenberg's films, very much resemble their parents' films in many ways, their whole style, the way they, the types of stories they choose to tell. Sofia Coppola is one who I would not compare with her father in the way that she makes films. She has her own thing going on, and it has been very hit and miss, but probably just as much as her dad.
Yeah. She might be more consistent now.
The upshot is, I know I haven't personally cared for every Coppola film, but I've loved some of her films. And On the Rocks appears to be one that isn't taking a humongous amount of chances. I mean, I don't know if you've heard the famous, not just story, I mean, he's confirmed it, Bill Murray, if you want to get Bill Murray for your movie, he's got an answering machine that you have to leave a message on that just says, like, your pitch as quick as it takes. You know, you get, like, what, 30 seconds on an answering machine message? Yeah. And if he likes it, he'll call you back. And if not, you'll never hear a thing from him.
So what do you think the pitch was?
I'm sure it was like, you just got to drink some whiskey and hang out with Rashida Jones and basically be yourself.
It's like, wait, is this Lost in Translation too?
Even more so than that, this feels like Bill Murray. He's like an elder statesman. He's very successful. Everyone knows him everywhere that he goes. He's likable to the point of it almost being like a mutant force. But he's kind of old-fashioned and weird and quirky in some ways that it's a little embarrassing. It feels like they were like, just say whatever you want to say, yeah. Bill.
Yeah, it really does. And I really loved him in it, too. It's just like, hey, just be here. Be your, like, goofy, charming self, tolerable dirtbag, like, old misogynist kind of guy. But he's just so charming, you can't help but love it. And Bill, he just, like, slides right into that role, too.
And I would argue that if I have a problem with this film at all, and it's not even really a problem because it's so affable, it's hard to really dislike this movie on any level, but it's that it's not very challenging.
No.
This movie's not trying. It's not reaching for any brass rings here. This is the situation. Let's put them in it and film it. Even at its most tense, like, even Rashida Jones's character at one point, who plays his daughter, is like, oh, I can't stay mad at you. Fine, whatever. What are we doing now? But first off, I'm Chris, and joining me is Wright.
Hello, everybody.
Brad.
Hello.
And Alan.
Hello.
Rashida Jones, she is happily married with two daughters. She's married to Marlon Wayans. And little things start popping up that start making her insecure. When he comes back from a trip, there's a makeup bag packed in there. And he's like, yeah, like my coworker, his number two at the company, played by Jessica Henwick, she didn't have enough room in her luggage and asked me at the airport if I had room in mine, so I just shoved it in there. Reasonable, right? It's these tiny little things that make part of her going, man, I don't know, is he cheating on me? I mean, look at this girl. She's gorgeous. She's amazing. And of course, her father, he's a guy who himself has cheated in every relationship he's ever been in, but done so with a lot of justification to himself about why he cheated in a sort of like
not aggravating, but still sort of like, hey, men can't help what they are sort of way.
Yeah, he's like one of those, like, you know, men, we're all animals. And it's like, yeah, you know, it's like that.
He goes down a lot of like diatribes about just like, this is just what we do. We're cavemen. We're animals. And this is the natural way of the world. Also, he's cheating on you. I know it.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Well,
convincing her that he's cheating on her. So it turns into kind of a caper film in a weird sort of way as he's dragging her along. And she very reluctantly, but even so, she's like, now that she's got the bug in her head that he keeps like feeding and it keeps getting bigger, she can't help but wonder, is he actually cheating on me? And what's funny is that by the end of the film, he does prove his point in the sense that men, they're just dumb animals, because the whole thing is just a big dumb blunder of him being indeed his instincts serving him wrong in an embarrassing way, but not in the way that he thought.
Yeah. And actually, when we were talking about the movie taking chances, without spoiling anything, I do like the subtlety of the choices made. It doesn't go for like the high like TV drama. You mosey along with the movie, and it's like really subtly shows like the way how the sins of the parents affect like you as like the child, but it's like not in the typical way. Usually it's shown like a man who always cheats because his dad cheated. And this is like a man cheating, like affecting his daughter and just her security in a relationship. But that back of mind, it's a little different. And I enjoyed that choice. That to be like affairs, you know, torrid drama, high comedy. It's like all kind of just there, you know, smooth along the surface.
It feels very realistic of like what would happen if this, what ends up happening in the story of like what would take place. And everyone's very mature and adult about it, at least like Rashida Jones and Marlon Wayans. And Bill Murray is like the only like kind of odd person out where he's just, it's almost a little heightened, which is, it's fun to see him and Rashida Jones like together palling around in a way, like trying to capering and spying and things like that. It's still very safe. You're saying it's not challenging really at all. It's almost like kind of comforting. Like, here, let's lay down together and let's watch this little movie. It's no big deal. No one's going to hurt you. Everything's fine.
Brad, you're like got what, 72 kids or something. You couldn't have an affair only because when would you, right? There's just no time. So could you identify with this film at all?
No, but I did like.
Well, he doesn't drink, like, so that's the thing. He couldn't, that's like, funny. I don't understand this at all.
I did enjoy that. Bill Murray was very charming, very charismatic. And I know I say that about a lot of performances. But I could see how him just being himself could draw him, the character especially, into a lot of, hey, you could commit adultery right now. This woman is hanging on your every word. And the honesty about that usually doesn't happen in these relationship coming of age into marriage and motherhood type of films. Usually the film would be, oh no, your dad is suddenly sick. Better make up with him. Because, yeah, you know, you don't want that hanging over your head if he's dead. And that's stupid. I hate that plot line a lot.
I hate that, too.
In films.
Yeah.
So the honesty of it, but overall the incredibly unsatisfying answers we get about adultery as a whole seemed very true to life, just for occurrences in which I've talked to friends who have or have been cheated on. So I hated that, but I also kind of loved it.
There is wisdom in the things that are going on here. The arguments that Bill Murray is making for why men are the way they are, they should all be countered with, yes, but you have the ability to reason. You don't just kill and knock someone over the head with a rock when you see them, do you? But he is sort of explaining the viewpoint in the most affable way of guys who are like, look, this gender thing, nobody ever gets to hear this side. I mean, nobody wants to hear this.
It's weird that the movie does like lend it like humanity to him as well. He's not just like a misogynist monster.
No.
Like he's like a victim of his age and of like the area he comes from, maybe. And Rashida Jones is always there to push back. But it shows how that still affects generationally, like that type of mentality, even though she knows it's bullshit. It's like tickling the back of her head. It's like, oh, fuck, is my husband like this as well? Are all men really like this? I like how the movie avoided cliche in telling that story. It's like we're saying it doesn't really take a lot of chances, and it's kind of slight, But I really felt like a breath of fresh air just to watch a movie that isn't like steeped in cliche. So yeah. many opportunities where it could do the very obvious like eye-rolly Netflix movie thing, you know, and it's not yeah. doing that at all. It's like a real subtle script. It's a really well-written script, I think.
The only thing I found a little weird is that I felt bad for Rashida Jones, who I really like. I loved her on Parks and Rec so much. Quincy Jones's daughter, and she plays essentially the same type of role that she played on Parks and Rec here. She's just consistently low-key exasperated by everyone else's weirdness. And she never really gets a chance to come out as a character all on her own. Everything she's doing is in reaction to what someone else is doing. We never really know that much about her. And I wanted to see scenes where she's with Bill and you can see that she's his daughter, but you never really feel that she actually is. They have good chemistry in terms of her playing off him with her exasperation, rolling her eyes, oh, Dad. But she never gets a chance to show that, hey, that part of her, that there's something she got from him, like maybe part of that charisma. You never feel that at all. And I thought it was kind of a shame that the script never chose to give her the chance to be much more than queen of exasperation.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like her character really gets to blossom at all and like showcase anything. It's just like she's there as the audience and just like, isn't this funny and weird to hang out with your dad that's just like, oh, women back in my day, blah, 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 blah. And I really want to see a great role for Rashida Jones. I know there's been probably a couple out there that I can't think of right now, but like what you're talking about, Chris, with Parks and Rec, it just seems like she's playing the straight character in this wacky world of New York where everyone's trying to cheat on each other, probably from Bill Murray. And
well, yeah, and it felt like everything about her character was kind of pre-written. She's like a predestined character, a woman in New York with a lover who's a husband and two kids. So, yeah, she's a writer. What does she write? Who cares? Women in New York are writers, right?
I know. I'm really surprised that this was directed by a woman. I kept going, she didn't write it, though, right? No, she wrote it, too.
I honestly think that what this is I'm reaching, because obviously Lost in Translation is about her relationship with Spike Jonze and how he ended up, I'm assuming that's what it's insinuating, at least in the movies, that he cheated with Cameron Diaz. And that's what like the character Anna Faris is supposed to represent. Maybe it's like kind of residual or just a lingering thoughts about like, oh gosh, is my husband now cheating on me because of things? And like maybe Bill Murray's even invoking some kind of like Francis Ford Coppola figure, maybe in a way. So I liked the movie. Again, it feels comforting and just easy to watch. But like you're saying, Alan, there's a lot of subtleties in it.
I kind of struggle with the idea of her not being a fully fleshed out. There's nothing that makes her stick out as a character. And all of her decisions and what she goes through the movie on in relation to her father or her husband. And it's just like her taking care of the kids, like the monotony of each day. I really love the opening act of the movie. It's just like everything's kind of the same while he's off doing this and she's just like stuck. I mean, she's obviously an artist and she has like her vision. And it makes me think that it might have been like the point that sometimes as a woman, you feel like you're only defined by your relationship to your kids, your husband, your father, and the men around you. The movie never goes overboard to really nail that point home. Again, if that's the point, it's really subtle to the point where we're like, is this a real character or is it, you know, an audience stand-in, which it may be kind of both, and that might be the point. Either way, I guess it's kind of unsatisfying because we don't have a clear picture of it, but I struggled with it, and I like it.
And you can tell by the way she gestures at this one building in New York City that she's giving clues to the location of the original draft of the Declaration of Independence. Gentlemen, we have to go there. I've got all these other clues, too, that were tied directly into the Illuminati curse. That's the reason we're all... Wait, this is... Which meeting is this?
Shit. I thought you were, like, pitching National Treasure 3 to us right now.
Pretty much.
Is this, like, a sneak prequel to National Treasure 3?
So, let's go to final thoughts. Right, why don't you get us started with your final take on the Rocks?
I really do enjoy Sofia Coppola quite a bit. I like you were saying earlier, there's definitely some hits and misses. And I think her hits are much stronger than any of her misses. She's made some of the most memorable movies in at least in the 2000s, like Lost in Translation, for God's sakes. But this one, it seems she's obviously working out a lot of things, at least how I've watched it and was kind of reading into it, she's working out things in regards to her relationship, probably to her, maybe her own father, and just herself, just the sense of relationships and where insecurities could lead you. So I thought that was, like you're saying, Alan, it's subtle, but it's still pretty powerful. The whole thing seems very realistic. If you have like this kind of kooky, unlimited money father that can just do whatever he wants, and he's friends with cops, who knew? And and watching that, this one scene where he is just like totally charming the pants off these cops, I'm just like, Bill Murray, don't do that. And so I was getting frightened for him. In the end, yeah, I liked it. I thought it was well shot. I think it's well written, and everyone in it is pretty good. It'll probably be kind of forgotten in the long run in her filmography, but it's still good and solid. There's nothing really like bad about it, except for maybe fleshing out Rashida Jones's character just a little bit further. But other than that, I liked it. I'll give it 7 out of 10 on-the-go drinking kits. I want one of those. That would be awesome.
Brad.
I did enjoy this. I really enjoyed how Bill Murray is such a great guy that is loving to people and is beloved. There's a sequence where he's introducing his daughter to a bunch of people on a beach. And you get the semblance of, has he known these people for years? Or is he just that kind of guy who can make people feel so important by listening and talking to them? Oh, man. And those kind of people are great. In a marriage, it's difficult to stay with them since they treat everyone like they're the center of the world, you know, or the universe. And that's what I was most interested in. Like, why do relationships fall apart? And we get maybe one or two monologues that I enjoyed, but they didn't really seem to care or connect through the rest of the movie. Is Marlon Wayans cheating on Rashida Jones? Do I only hope that he isn't because Rashida Jones and Marlon Wayans together are sexy as hell and look like fun, great people and would be a great couple to know in real life? I guess. We don't really know much about either of them, except they both work hard at what they do, but what they do doesn't matter either. Yeah, is this something we know about motherhood? Does the film show us that it's tough, or is it because we can see with our eyes in day-to-day lives how, wow, that looks like a very hard endeavor that mother has in this safe way with a screaming toddler? I did enjoy Rashida and Bill Murray together, and I enjoyed the quirkiness of it all. I enjoyed the monologues, even though I wanted more. So I'm going to give this 7 surprise stakeouts outside of exotic hotels.
Alan?
I really liked it, actually. Like, I watched it a lazy afternoon. The weather was nice. We had the windows open. It was just like a breezy, lazy day, and the movie is just like coasted along with me. And I was like, that was so enjoyable. Well, the performances, nothing's really challenging in the movie. But, you know, that's fine. Sometimes movies just need to be pleasant entertainments with, like, you know, sideways thoughts on marriage and fatherhood and motherhood and growing up with a cheating. It's just like there's heavy stuff in there, but it's all treated so delicately. And it is funny, too. We should mention it's just subtly funny. Like, Bill Murray is, every time he's on screen, he makes you have a smile on your face. He's always doing some little bit here and there. Yeah, I really enjoyed it quite a bit, actually. But yeah, there's not much more to say past I liked it, you know, and the stuff that we said in the review so far. So I'll give it 8 out of 10 caviar stakeouts.
Bill Murray is kind of the Frank Sinatra of comedy, right? That's about right. He's like this elder statesman of it. He's just so cool you can barely stand it, but in a sort of you never know what he's going to do sort of way, because he's a comedian, not a musician, right? He's obviously kind of the top boss. He can get away with whatever the fuck he wants to get away with, because he's goddamn Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And this is him playing that, and playing around with it, and having fun with it. It's not what I would call a narcissism role. He's not taking this because, like, oh, yeah, I get to tell everybody how great I am. Because ultimately, it's about this guy who's really not all as great as he thinks he is. And the movie's pretty clear about that. But who still is a decent dude. You really want to hang out with Bill Murray more than ever after you see this film, despite all his flaws. I mean, I've always been like, man, Bill Murray seems like he'd be an okay guy, but I bet you in the middle of like hanging out with him, he'd do something really weird and you'd be put in a situation where you're like, do I really want to do this? Oh, come on, man. But it's Bill Murray. I mean, anybody would understand. And before you know it, you're in like Jamaica or some shit. This is the movie for you if you're like ever fantasized about that. If you never really cared for Bill Murray's whole shtick, this isn't going to do. This will not. You will not care for this because this movie wouldn't function without Bill Murray's shtick. Because I think on the surface, this story isn't very good. The script has some very good moments in it, but most of them are written for Bill. Or alternately, like I said, I'm not completely against the idea in my head that he was allowed to just improv some shit that's in here because so much of it feels just like vintage Murray playing that character. But I don't know. I mean, it's pleasant enough. I didn't dislike this, but it's definitely one of the least memorable Coppola films, and I like it a lot better than a few of her other films. Like, I didn't care for The Bling Ring at all.
I actively disliked
that movie. But it was a better made film in a lot of ways than this was. At least it had a goal. It was striving for something. This, I'm like, I'm not even sure what you're going for, but that's fine. This is a lazy afternoon of a sort of art conversational movie, and that's fine. There's a place for that. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 really overrated Karma Ghias. Because, Jesus, that car, man. Everyone I know has ever owned one was, like, sold it within a year. Because, like, man, this thing may be pretty, but it is a piece of shit.
I love how that's in the movie, too. How that car sucks.
Yeah.
It's backfiring, and they're, like, stalling. Like, yeah, that is a really funny bit. I like that.
Yeah, you're not in a Fellini film, buddy. You're in the after the Fellini film when the thing's at the mechanics for a month.